Good evening. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here this evening and to get to speak a portion of God's Word to you. That being said, like was talked about this morning, you know, men are fallible, but this Word, God's Word, is it. So that being said, if I present something that isn't quite accurate or isn't applicable, you'd be my friend and brother or sister to point that out to me so I can make corrections as I need to. That being said, this evening I'd like to talk a little bit about the fair-weather Christian. And, the fair-weather Christian, the fair-weather individual, I should say, is something we probably have a very good understanding of in living here in the Pacific Northwest. You know, the weather is something that's usually rainy here. That being said, let's define what I mean by fair weather. Because we're going to see that it applies in a lot of things. Well, when I say fair weather, what I'm simply talking about is that an action is dependent on something else. Another way to put that might be a little more clear, is that the level of interest of something is determined by the level of difficulty or unpleasantness. You see, I gave an example of golfing, but you can think about it however you'd like. Personally, I don't like golfing in the rain. I am a fair weather golfer. I am. Gary is too, and he can't lie. He can't lie about it. He is. But you can, there again, you can apply that to anything. We have fair weather everything. Fair weather golfers, hunters. They only do it when the weather's nice or when things are promising for them. Fishers, same thing. If they're getting fish, they're in it. But if they're not, nah, it's not for me. It's not my thing. Gardeners, just something I threw in there. What about relationships? A fair weather relationship. You know, when things are going good, yeah, they're on board. They're all in. But when things aren't going good, you know, man, I don't know about this. Same thing with what about friends? The fair weather friend. They're with you. They got your back when things are going good. But then when things start to turn, where'd they go? Teammates. Same exact thing. Yeah, I got your back. I got your back. Well, we're down. I need you right now. There's no one there. A fair weather teammate, fair weather friend. That's what I'm talking about. So let's apply that spiritually. My question to you is, are you a fair weather Christian? Are you here because things are going well for you? So you're thinking, you know, God's blessed me. I understand that. Things are going well. I'm here for Him. I'm going to please Him. I'm going to serve Him. But when things go bad, are you still with God? Because He's still with you. He's still with you. Are you a fair weather Christian? That's the question I'd like to ask. So if you are having difficulty answering that for yourself, I have a couple different points to look at this evening that'll help determine, are you a fair weather Christian? Well, I'm going to define that in a few different ways here. The first point here, the fair weather Christian, the fair weather individual, if you think about it, he or she waits for opportune times, doesn't he? Waits for opportune times for everything. Don't they? They look at the forecast. Luckily, we've been blessed this summer so far with the sun. That being said, I haven't had to look at the forecast if I wanted to go golfing this last almost 2 months or so. But the spiritually speaking, that's still true. Spiritually speaking, the fair weather Christian, he or she looks at the forecast and lets that determine their spiritual involvement. You know, they have the mindset of let's see how things are going. Let's see how things are going. And if things are going good, yeah, I'm all in. I'm in. But if things aren't going good, they're not in. And we know that's not the way to be. It's the idea that I'll come to services when it's best for me. When it's profitable for me, I'm all in. I'm all in. But when it's not profitable, when it's unpleasant, when things are hard or a little bit sticky, yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling good tonight. Just some things to think about for us. What about right now is not the best time for me to lead, teach? You can fill in the blank with whatever you need to. But the point, the fair weather Christian, he or she, they wait for the best times that benefits them rather than giving glory to God where it's due. Well, to that I just simply say that we need to not let the forecast dictate and determine our spiritual involvement. Right? We need to have some spiritual stick-to-itiveness. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We can't let anything hinder us from being at worship services. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start reading actually in verse 23. But the writer of Hebrews, he wrote, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You see, without wavering. They're in it all the time. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, those are calls to action for the Christian. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Again, another command. Not forsaking the assembling, but exhorting one another as brothers and sisters. And so much more as you see the day approaching. That being said, the point I was trying to get at is that we can't let anything hinder us, the forecast especially. We can't let anything dictate and determine us being at services. Our whole spiritual involvement for that matter. Another point, what about growing up as a child of God? Each and every one of us bear the responsibility, the privilege actually, to grow up in the way that God wants us to, in His ways. Look at 2 Peter real quick. Flip over a few books to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It simply says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. I don't see anywhere in this passage, I don't see anywhere in here that says anything to the effect of but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when it's best for you, when it's most profitable for you. Now, if I understand this correctly, that's a call each and every day of our lives to grow. That's a responsibility and a privilege that all of us have. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. There again, growing up in Christ, maturing in Christ spiritually. We all have that commandment, we all have that responsibility put upon us. There again, it is a privilege. And Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the same idea. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, of laying on hands, the resurrection of the dead. The point I'm trying to get at is we have a call as Christians to grow and to mature as Christians. But the fair-weather Christian, he or she, they let opportune times dictate whether they grow or not. In these scriptures that I read, I see nothing to the effect of grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when it's most convenient for you. I don't see it. Just another point, teaching God's Word, teaching His Word. Is that something we can choose when to do when it's best for us or most convenient for us? I don't believe so. Mark 16:15, a pretty notable passage that a lot of us can remember, Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's pretty immediate, isn't it? That's first of all, that's a command, but two, that's pretty immediate for us as Christians. That's a deliberate action that we need to take. There again, I see nothing about waiting there. There again, the scripture does not say, this. It does not read, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature as long as you would like. As long as things are going good, keep on. That's not what it says. That's not what it reads. 2 Timothy touches on this point as well, teaching the importance of preaching God's Word. Colossians 3:16, same principle. There's an immediacy. There is an importance put on the Scriptures. There is a privilege that we have as Christians to speak God's Word. That being said, let's tie this back. The fair weather Christian, he or she lets opportune times pass. And we can't do that. Another point that the fair weather Christian, well, he or she demonstrates that his or her priorities aren't where they should be. That being said, with golf, Gary and I, yes, we don't like to golf in the rain. Golf has nothing to do with my salvation. If I choose to be a fair weather golfer, that's fine. If you choose to be a fair weather gardener, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not. But I am here to say, and God is here to say, we can't be fair weather Christians. That's a fact. The idea of placing our priorities where they shouldn't be, it's the idea that I would rather not fill in the blank, spiritually speaking, when it's raining, right? When things aren't going good. I don't enjoy this enough to do it all the time. I'm not devoted enough. I'm not dedicated enough to do it rain, shine, sleet, snow, hail, anything. That's what we're saying. And if we choose to not serve God each and every day of our lives, rather just when things are going good, isn't that what we're telling Him? God, I love You, but I don't love You enough to stick it through all the time, each and every day of my life. Because that's what we're saying. Well, let's apply this to spiritual. Let's apply that same thing spiritually. I'd rather not come to services, fill in the blank there how you'd like. I'd rather not participate in XYZ when I feel threatened by the elders. If things were more pleasant for me, I would come. Just some things to consider. If the weather was better, I would go. If things were looking better for me, I'd go. But they're not, so I can't come. Well, bumps along the road are going to happen as Christians, but that doesn't mean we can give up. That doesn't mean we can use them as excuses, does it? So again, another point, the fair weather Christian. Well, he or she, they're very dedicated when it's right for them, aren't they? When things are going good, when it's sunny out spiritually, they're in it to win it. When it's not raining, you see. They serve God when it's easy for them, most profitable for them. Just some things we need to think about. That being said, when the weather begins to worsen, because we're told it's going to, spiritually speaking, not every day is going to be perfect or great, but when that weather does begin to worsen, their dedication does begin to waver. And we can see that in their actions, their attitudes, their attendance. We can see those things. But we're told in the Scriptures not to let anything let us waver. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. That's the scriptures we read last week about the soldier of Christ. But let's just take verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's a command, isn't it? That's comforting for each and every one of us. Take confidence in that. Be strong in the Lord. Right? That's the total opposite of wavering. Be strong or waver. Well, we're told to be strong. Go to Psalm chapter 118 real quick. Psalm 118 and verse 14. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." That's what the writer of Psalms wrote. The fair weather Christian is dedicated when it's right for them. Yes, he is my rock. He's my strength when it's best for me. Not when it's best for him. We ought to give glory to God in each and everything that we do, not letting the forecast dictate it. That's the point. I know I might sound like a broken record, but this point needs to be established, because any one of us are susceptible to this. The fair weather Christian also, well, he or she isn't invested. They're not fully invested, are they? If they were fully invested, they wouldn't let the forecast dictate their actions. If I was fully invested into golf, I wouldn't check the weather, because I'd say, you know what, even if it rains, that's fine. I'm going to go because I love golf that much. I'm going to participate in it. But I don't. Spiritually speaking, we cannot have that mindset. Your soul is worth too much to say, you know, I love God a whole lot, but when things aren't going good, I'm not there. Your soul is worth too much for that. Well, they're like the lukewarm church, aren't they? It's like John read this morning in Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3, John wrote, he talked about the lukewarm church, the church of the Laodiceans. And starting in verse 15, it says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." There again, we read that this morning. Right, their actions, the church obviously, they weren't cold or hot. They weren't invested wholeheartedly. I'm in when it's good. Nah, it's okay if I'm not. We can't be lukewarm Christians. We cannot be fair weather Christians. We cannot do it. Your soul is worth too much. Your soul is worth too much. The fair weather Christian, what else? Well, he or she puts his or her own desires and dislikes above serving God, above their number one priority, don't they? If tomorrow I decided that I wanted to go golfing and I checked the forecast and it said it was raining, then I decided I didn't want to go golfing, what does that say about my level of commitment? What does that say about my likes and dislikes? I like golf enough to participate when it's great, but I don't like it good enough to participate when it's raining. That's the point I'm trying to get at. Spiritually speaking, this is true. This happens. This is real. That being said, God tells us to worship Him each and every day of our lives. Doesn't matter the weather, spiritually speaking. It doesn't matter. Look at Psalm chapter 113 real quick. Psalm chapter 113 and verse 3. It says, "From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised." I'm pretty sure there's no time between the sun rising and the sun setting. There's no time in there where the Lord's name is not to be praised. Pretty straightforward, and it's simple, but it's important. Philippians 2 and verses 9 through 11. Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11. It says, "Therefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." See, to the glory of God the Father. He's to be praised, He's to be worshipped, Christ is to be exalted. Doesn't matter the weather. Doesn't matter the forecast. Choose to exalt Him. Choose to put God first in your life. And that's nothing that I can do for you. That's something that each one has to do for his own self or herself. I say this. Let's think about this. I'm not saying in any degree, please don't think I'm saying this as if I am God. But let's think about it as if we were looking at it from God's shoes, if that's, which is not possible, but let's try. How do you think God feels? Okay, how do you think God feels when we say, "God, I would love to worship You, but right now is not the best time for me. Right now is not the best time. Maybe when things get better. Maybe when things get better." How do you think God feels? How do you think Jesus felt on the cross? I guarantee it wasn't the best time for Him, was it? No, sir. But He did it. Well, the fair weather Christian is acting selfish, aren't they? It's there again, we can't afford that. Our soul can't afford that. He or she shows an obvious lack of commitment and dedication, don't they? And to that I just say, shouldn't our faith, shouldn't glorifying God, worshiping Him each and every day of our life, shouldn't that be our number one priority in all things, no matter the weather? Let's look at Matthew chapter 22 real quick. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Let's go back to Galatians chapter 2 real quick. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." That mindset, that attitude, that commitment, that dedication, that verbiage, there is not a lack of commitment there, is there? Dedication is not an issue there. It doesn't sound like it to me. That's the attitude, that's the mindset. That's what we need to be telling ourselves. That's what we need to be acting each and every day of our lives. You know, we need to be committed to the fullest degree to God, because He was fully committed to us, enough so to send His Son to die for each and every one of us. He was invested to the fullest. It's our duty to be invested to the fullest to Him. The fair weather Christian, what else do? Well, they quit when things get hard, don't they? They quit when things get hard. That being said, we need to have some spiritual stick-to-itiveness. We need to have some spiritual grit. If someone has ever told you that you're not a very stick-to-itive person, I highly encourage you to change that. That's a quality not only spiritually, but in this world that we need to have. With our jobs, you can apply that any way you'd like. But when the going gets rough, stick it out. That's my encouragement to you. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6 real quick. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap. We shall reap if we do not lose heart." You see, that right there is speaking at some spiritual stick-to-itiveness. Do not grow weary while doing good. Stick to it. Keep on keeping on. Have some endurance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:13, same idea. Second Thessalonians 3:13. And it reads, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." The same exact idea. The same exact idea. Have some spiritual stick-to-itiveness. Stick it out to the end. Don't give up. Don't quit when things get hard. Don't turn your back on God because it rained. Don't turn your back on God because it rained. So we've talked about the fair-weather Christian. I just want to briefly touch on the foul-weather Christian for a second. The fair-weather Christian is someone... There again, I know I sound like a broken record, but we need to know this and understand it. The fair-weather Christian is someone who, when things are going good, they're all in, they're invested. But when things aren't going good, they're out, right? The foul-weather Christian is just the opposite. When things are going good, they think, you know, why do I need God? Things are going good, and that's because of me. First of all, they're wrong. It's not because of you. The point, the foul-weather Christian, when things are going good, God's far from their hearts. And then when things turn for the worse, when it starts to rain all of a sudden, when they check that forecast, wow, God, please help me. I need some help. We can't be that way either. We can't be that way either. They're not at God's service. God's at their service, isn't He? It's the idea, when I need you, I will find you. You know, when things are going good, God's not in their mind. Look at Psalm chapter 16. This verse does a good job explaining the foul weather Christian. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 8. It says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." That is the exact opposite of the foul weather Christian, is it not? I have set the Lord always before me. If we put the Lord always before us and keep His laws, keep His commandments on our hearts like we ought to, we won't be a foul weather Christian. We won't be a fair weather Christian. Are you a foul weather Christian? When things get hard in life, do you turn to God out of necessity? I can't answer that for yourself, but you can. Do you stay with God when things are good, but not when it's bad? Do you turn to God when things are bad out of necessity? There again, I can't answer that. You can. Well, let's look at the all-weather Christian. The one who sticks it out no matter what. The one who does have some spiritual stick-to-itiveness. Well, the all-weather Christian will not let anything stop him or her from attending services, from growing, from maturing. There again, let's look at 2 Peter. We've already read this, but let's read it again. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. It says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also with the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore," this is a call to us, "you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." The all-weather Christian takes this, they understand it, they think about these things, and they apply it. They grow. That's a command. They mature spiritually. The all-weather Christian, he or she will always keep God as their number one. Serving Him will be their number one priority. The forecast is not... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, 33 real quick. Matthew 6, 33. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." There again, what Jesus said, it's a fact. You can't deny it. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Seek it first. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But the all-weather Christian will do that. They're not going to let the bad weather stop them. They're not going to let bad forecasts. They're not going to let things stop them. They're not going to let things stop them. They're going to remain constant and unwavering. Like we've already talked about, the importance of not wavering, not giving in. Well, the all-weather Christian is going to remain unwavering. It's so important. That's what life's about. Not wavering. Remaining constant. That's what it's about. He or she also is a role model for all of us. Can you think of someone off the top of your head who is an all-weather Christian? It's something to think about. Well, they're a role model for us. And if you want to be that person for someone else, do it. Be them. That's me. That's my encouragement. That's God's encouragement to you. Decide to be an all-weather Christian. And that all starts in the heart. It all starts in the heart. Set God as your number one priority. And if you haven't been an all-weather Christian, choose to be. Choose to be. The good news about life is that you can always make corrections. That's the good news. And that's our call, to strive to be all-weather Christians. That's our call. That's God's call. Just one more time. Just one more time. The fair-weather Christian remains faithful as long as things are good. They stick it out as long as things are going good, as long as things are profitable for them. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. The foul-weather Christian becomes faithful out of necessity when the sun goes down. When the storm comes, out of necessity, they come to God. Don't be that person. That's not me saying that. That's God saying that. Don't be that person. The all-weather Christian serves God, remains faithful throughout all seasons. No matter the weather, no matter the forecast, they stick it out. Be that person. I can't be much more simple than that. I can't be much more simple. Which are you? Which type of Christian are you? Strive to be an all-weather Christian. That's all I have to say. While this lesson was targeted and for Christians, that being said, if you're not a Christian at all, decide to be a Christian. And when you do decide to be a Christian, decide to be an all-weather Christian. Because we can stumble. We can waver. We can take a turn for the worst. But we can make corrections. That's the good news. That's the good news. If you're not a Christian, you've heard the word. Now the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that He lived as man and died for each and every one of us? For our sins that we have committed and we will commit? Are you going to repent of your sins that you've... Are you going to acknowledge your sins firstly and then repent of them? Confess Jesus' name before men, that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God? And are you going to be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins? And then you can choose to be a Christian. And choose to be an all-weather Christian. That choice is yours. That choice is yours. If anyone has a need, let that be known as we stand and sing. I hear thy voice that